Tonight, we'd first like to generally speak about the concept of villain, and at the same time, there will be a number of demons that we will refer to and to seek to clarify. There is the question of the formation of the formal villain, the way they are placed in the siddur, and the many technical detailed halachos concerning the fulfillment of the mitzvah. But we'd first like to generally speak about the concept. The first basis for tefillah that we find is actually before the advent of the Jewish people, in the earliest days of creation. In fact, when Cain was driven out of Gan Eden, it says, God el aveni min so, is my sin so great that you can't bear it? The punishment that I am about to receive, that you're driving me out away, me'alpneo adoma, from the face of the earth, and from your countenance I will be hidden. The Ramban explains this phrase, that Cain bemoaned his fate and bewailed the fact that I won't be able to stand before you to pray or to bring various sacrifices in your presence. Now, the idea of not being able to stand in the present, being able to pray, to communicate, it seems that this is an innate feeling that man has, and that even Cain felt. And if he had to describe a terrible punishment that is being given to him, he emphasizes this fact of Godel Avoni min so, that my sin is so great that I won't be able to stand before you and communicate and pray to Hashem. So this gives us, in general, an idea, as we'll see later, some of the philosophical reasons that tefillah is given to man. But from Cain's outburst, from his outcry, it shows us that this is a natural feeling, it seems, that the soul has in its ability and its wish to be able to communicate with its maker. So it's really a natural feeling that a human being possesses. But the prayer that we have, or the obligation to pray, in general, there, halakhically, is this a mitzvah of the Torah? Later, when there became a Klal Yisrael, a Jewish people, and we know that a great part of our observance centers around tefillah. We use the word tefillah for the general term to describe all types of prayer. But specifically, the specific term tefillah relates to Shmoneh Esrei. And when in halacha we find the term tefillah, basically it means Shmoneh Esrei. This is the actual communication with Hashem. We speak of the greatness and we have our requests that we formally present to Hashem. Now there is a discussion, is this tefillah, this mitzvah, is it mideraisa or is only midrabbanan? Now it has a lot of ramifications to it. The Talmud tells us in Brachos that women are higher than tefillah, that women have the obligation to pray. Now, why would you think they would be potter? And what is the prayer that women obligated, what prayer does this mean? Well, we would think perhaps they're exempt from prayer, because prayer is a special time that one has to pray. Yet the Mishnah tells us that they're obligated to pray. Now, is this mideraisa? Is this according to the law of the Torah? Or is it according to the law of the Rabbanan? Well, the Rambam says that tefillah, that prayer, is the law of the Torah. Therefore, he says, there is really, according to the Rambam, the formal prayer was made later. But from the law of the Torah, one has an obligation to pray. Therefore, he says, any tefillah that one prays during the day fulfills the obligation of the Torah. There are no direct number of prayers from the Torah. There is no special time from the Torah. Let me just quote. He says, mitzvah saseh, there's a positive mitzvah to pray every day. It says, ve'avadatem, you should serve your God. And we say that avoda, service, means prayer. It says, alofdo b'chol levavchem. These are all passages from the Torah. Serve Hashem, your entire being. This means tefillah. But then it continues, the number of prayers are not regulated or regimented in the Torah. The ain mishnah ha-tefillah min ha-Torah. The language of the prayers are not from the Torah. The ain li tefillah zman kavua min ha-Torah. And there is no special time for tefillah in the Torah. Therefore, women are obligated to pray because it is a positive mitzvah that is not delegated to a special time. But the mitzvah of the Torah means that a person should speak of the greatness of God and ask for his own personal need and afterwards thank Hashem. Basically, that's the composition of the Shemoneh Esrei, when you think into it. The first three blessings, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mechaye HaMeisim, you resurrect the dead. Ato Gibor, you are very strong. Ato Kadosh, you are holy. And then after that, we start with our personal blessings. Ato Chonein Radam Das, you give man wisdom. Hashiveinu Avinu L'Seira Secha, bring us back to your Torah. We have the middle blessings, and then we thank Hashem. Modim anachnu lach. So you have the same composition that the Rambam says. But the Rambam says that it doesn't have to be formal. The general idea of prayer is sufficient. Now, we'll continue later in the Rambam, but we'll speak of the other parts of the davening later. Do women have to daven Shemoneh Esrei or don't they daven? According to the Rambam, it says they have to daven, but it doesn't say they have to daven the formal prayer. It doesn't say how many times a day, they just have to daven once. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch, the halacha, the law is brought down, that women are chayav b'tfilah. He uses the language of the Rambam because it's a mitzvah saseh, it's a positive mitzvah that is not relegated to time. Fine. But the Chafetz Chaim brings down that he explains the way we've interpreted the Rambam, and he says, therefore, a woman could pray with any language she wants at any time she wants. And as long as she prays one time a day, be it whatever prayer it is, she fulfills her obligation from the Torah. So if you'll say, Meidim Anachmalach, or Meidani, or whatever brachas you say, according to the Rambam, that's considered to be tefillah, and you would fulfill your obligation of the Torah. And the Magen Avraham brings down that based on this concept, most of the women have accepted a conduct that they do not daven Shemoneh Esrei regularly in the morning and in the evening because they depend on the Rambam, and as soon as they wake up in the morning, they usually say a certain tefillah, and this suffices to fulfill the biblical mitzvah. And perhaps he says, not only does it suffice to fulfill the biblical mitzvah, perhaps even the rabbinic mandate of the formal prayer did not apply to the women, as long as they have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah by any prayer that they offer during the day. Now this is one approach. The Ramban, however, argues with the Rambam, and he has a very interesting concept. He says that the idea of prayer is not a mitzvah in the Torah. There's no mention in the Torah. If you don't pray, you're not transgressing a mitzvah of the Torah. On the other hand, he says, the idea of prayer shows us of chesed habore, of the greatness of Hashem, that he has given us the opportunity to communicate with him, and that he will listen and he will respond. And the passage that the Rambam quotes from the Torah, from the word alavdo, the whole of Achim, meaning that you serve God with your whole heart, so that would seem to be a reference in the scriptures itself. So he says it really doesn't, although there's one opinion in the Talmud that it relates to prayer, but he says it doesn't relate to prayer. Just like we say, whenever you perform any mitzvah or any service, it should be with your whole concentration and with your good intention. So according to the Ramban, there is no mitzvah of prayer in the Torah, and the whole origin is Rabbana in mandate. So according to him, the Rabbana originally initiated the formal prayer. There weren't two steps, like the Rambam says, but there was one step. They directly made prayer and made the formal Shemoneh Esrei, and this became the mitzvah. Now, it is relegated to special times of the day, yet the Mishnah tells us that women have an obligation. So he says, but since it's so important that it's rachamim, meaning we need God's mercy, so they obligated not only men, but women also have that obligation, although it's directly related to specific times. So according to the Ramban, it would come out that since they obligated women also, as we just mentioned, women would have to daven the formal Shachris and Mincha, Shemoneh Esreis, the same way that men have to daven. Why? Because this is the need for rachamim, for mercy, and therefore everyone needs mercy. And the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, who is a receptive posek, or one of the receptive poskim, says that the Ramban's opinion is the ikor. He also quotes these predecessors who say that, is the proper opinion, because most agree with the Ramban. And the Shagas Aryeh also says that women should try to the best of their ability to daven Shmon Esrei. So therefore, the women daven the formal prayer, Shmon Esrei, not only for Shacharis and Mincha. For Maariv, it was not obligatory, except the Talmud tells us that people, the men, accepted themselves as an obligation. But it wasn't really a formal obligation, and therefore, this obligation did not pertain to women. So this is the discussion, and when you see different opinions, some women daven the formal Shmon Esrei or daven their day, and others do not, so you'll know that it really evolves about this difference of opinion of the Rambam and the Ramban. According to the Rambam, any prayer would suffice, and according to the Ramban, the mitzvah is only with the Rabbonim in origin, and therefore they made it for women also, and Shacharis and Mincha should daven, but Maariv we don't obligate them, because Maariv was not accepted at that point. Now, of course, it's very difficult, you know, when there are children around, be able to daven an Esrei at the right time. And we could appreciate that, because that's one of the general reasons why a woman is potter from any mitzvah that is related to a special time. Yet, the emphasis on tefillah is that tefillah is so important, that it is rachamim. So therefore the Ramban says, although it is related to a special time, and it may be very difficult, according to him, they're obligated to daven the tefillah. Now about Musaf, there's two different opinions. Some say they have to daven Musaf, some say Musaf also was not involved in the mitzvah, in the takkona, in the law that women have to daven. Now there are other parts of tefillah that women have to also recite, and we will speak of that further on in the future. But the reason why we brought down this halacha of the Shmon Esrei, because this centers around the basic mitzvah of tefillah itself. Because as I said, the essence of prayer, or the most important part, is the Shmon Esrei. It's important for us to understand what prayer is. The classic example that we see that it does have an effect is when we peruse the stories in the Torah, the instances in the Torah itself. There are a few places in the Torah where we find that Moshe is praying to Hashem, and he is able to intervene and intercede and petition and find absolution and find forgiveness for the children of Israel. This case, we find, is by the Egel, which we'll read in a few weeks, when the Jewish people sin by making the Egel Azov right after they received the Torah, so they wanted to destroy the children of Israel. So Moshe immediately intercedes in their behalf. Hashem tells Moshe, Hanichali, let me alone, and my wrath will be kindled against them, and I will devour them, and I'll make you into a great nation. Well, the Talmud tells us that Moshe heard, Hanichali, let me alone. So it seems to imply that Moshe, if he didn't want to, if Moshe would not let him alone in some way, he would be able to restrict him. So immediately Moshe intercedes and prays, says, Lom Hashem Yechreav, Kobeamepa, why are you so angry? Why should the Egyptians say that you took us out to destroy us? Therefore, Shuv Mecharon HaPecha, renege on your decree, and accept our forgiveness. Zechor LaAvram, remember Avram, remember the office. These are the classic prayers that Moshe interceded on our behalf at that time, and which we have used in the Slichos, that we pray to God for forgiveness. Basically, we use the general theme that Moshe used at that time. It's just, there's an interesting, how strong the prayer of man can be. We find various instances in the Talmud. The famous instance is of Choni HaMagel. Choni HaMagel. The story of Choni HaMagel is worth relating. The Talmud in Tanis tells us that one year, most of the month of Adar passed and there was no rain. And the people in Israel didn't know what to do. So they sent the Choni HaMagel. That was his name. Magel means a circle. He was a big tzaddik. So they sent to Choni, you'll see why he got the name of Magel, because he later drew a circle. But they sent to him and they said, pray on our behalf that rain should come down from heaven. So it says he prayed and there was no rain. So then he made a circle and he stood in the circle and he said, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he said, your children all approached me because I am like an intimate family member with you. Therefore, I swear to you with your holy name that I won't move out of this circle until you have compassion and mercy on your children. So the rain started to drip slowly. So Khoni says, this is not the rain I asked for. I want rain that will be able to fill up the pits and the cisterns. So Yoed Bizarre, so there was like a tornado, and the rain came with great power and force. So he says, I don't want this type of rain. I want Gishmei Ratzein. I want rain that will come properly, rain of blessing that shows your favor. So it says that the rain started coming down very nicely until all the people, I mean, they were almost swamped. There was a flood, so they had to go up to the Har HaBayis, to the mountain, in order to escape the rain. So the people came running to him, and they told him, just like you prayed that the rain would come, pray that the rain should stop. So he said, Kublani, I have a tradition, a teaching, that one cannot pray to stop a great gift that Hashem has given him. But even so, he says, bring me a par, bring me a sacrifice, and I will see what I can do. So they brought him the sacrifice, and then he said, your children of Israel that you took out of Egypt, they can't live with too much rain, and they can't live with too little rain. You became angry in them, and therefore they can't exist. You didn't give them any rain. Now you're giving them too much, he says, and they can't live either. Let it be accepted by you that the rain should stop now, and there should be favor and peace and tranquility in the world. So the wind stopped and the clouds disappeared and the sun came out. So Shimon ben Shetach then said to him, Yo mole choni ato, if you wouldn't be choni, that's where he got the name Mago from the circle, I would give out a cherem, I would excommunicate you, because this takes a terrible audacity to be able to communicate with Hashem. But what can I do when you approach Hashem? It's just like a child approaching his parent. And therefore, when the child approaches the parent, he could speak a little different than, he could be more demanding. So this story itself gives you two things. First of all, it shows you the greatness that a person can ascend to, the heights that he can ascend to, that he is able really like to relate to Hashem, almost at one-on-one, just like Hashem. He told Moshe, inicholi, leave me alone. Or the Talmud brings down a case that the Talmud tells us that God says, I rule over man, but who has some authority? Moshe or he? Tzadik. So it seems that a tzadik has a certain power that Hashem gave him in his communication. And this is the power of prayer. It's important for us to understand what prayer is. I mentioned time and time again the amount of effort and time, literally hours, that we give out in a year, say, almost everyone in Tefillah. It should be a little more effective. I think if we understood and we prayed with more meaning and more understanding, it would perhaps have more of an effect. Later I'll refer to words that the Chafetz Chaim wrote in a letter here about this same idea. The idea of prayer is that we ourselves, by our concentration, ascend to a higher level, and therefore we are able to bring out a different response than it was originally meant to be. Hirsch goes into this. He says that the importance of prayer is man takes certain times during the day for meditation. Basically, it comes down to meditation. And we never stop to meditate, you know, we've mentioned this. We just are so involved in things that every second is taken up with something that's so important. We never stop to think, who am I? Where am I going? Am I in the right direction? The idea is we never stop to think where we're going, if we're going in the right direction. We're put down in this world, if we're blessed, 70, 80, 120 years, and we're supposed to be going in a direction. We're supposed to accomplish something. According to Hirsch, this is the idea of tefillah. In his language, he writes, "Alecho l'ishtaker b'tefillah." You have to free yourself through prayer, mishigoyin ruach, from this wild spirit that's driving you, v'lachdir le'atmecha, and to dig deeply into you, implant deeply in you, esrayin, the thought of achdus Hashem, of your purpose, that everything is supposed to be to serve Hashem. From all of these thoughts, one thing is clear. that there are what we call tzinoris hatfilah, that there are very channels of prayer that were given to man for man to be able to communicate kaviyoha with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It brings us to the most important part. It's all very nice, but how do we really become inspired with prayer? Can it be said in our own language? Well, we say that tefillin and mor is b'chol lashon, that really you can pray in any language. Yet it's more effective, we say, in lashon kodesh. Now, the chosen method is, of course, for a person to familiarize himself with the English translation of the prayers, that even if he doesn't know the meaning of every word, but he gets the concept of tefillin. Without understanding the meaning or the general concept of prayer, it is very difficult to get the spirit. It is possible. I mean, there are people who we should pray with the fervor and understanding and spirit that they prayed with, although they could have been called almost illiterate. They may perhaps were not even able to read the prayers. They would learn them by heart, but the soul and spirit that went into the prayer, there's no question that it went right up to the divine throne. It will ask them, what did you really say? So they wouldn't tell you, they wouldn't know. But you would just stand in their presence and you would feel the sanctity. So traditionally throughout the ages, people have prayed in Hebrew. And it seems that the fact that they may not have known the meaning of the words and perhaps not even able to read, they said it by heart. In no way did that take away from the spirit and the sanctity of the tefillah. But if a person will say cannot bring himself into such a mood or into such a spirit, so the next logical way is for him to concentrate literally on the meaning of the word to know what he's saying. Now, if a person cannot, if this is the only way that he could relate, so he should do that. He should pray in a different language, in English, say. And there are some people who can't read Hebrew until they learn how to read Hebrew. They never had the opportunity and they want to start praying, so they start praying in English. I remember there were people in shul, there was one person here that I wish that I would reach his ability to pray like him. He used to pray in English in the beginning. But Ishmanes would be whatever language it was, you could tell it was authentic prayer. But of course it's hoped that the person, because Lashon HaKodesh is the holy language, and therefore it's hoped that the person would be able to get the general idea of prayer and be able to put it into Lashon HaKodesh. Now, that's one idea, is the language of prayer. But in a sense, don't we feel hampered by the fact that we have to use the formal prayer and we can't really use our own feelings? Why can't we use our own feelings? Wouldn't it be better if we could use the language that we feel from our heart? Instead of saying every day, we'll say, Refoeinu Hashem b'nei Rafei, or Atochonein Yoram Das. Wouldn't it be better if we could formulate our own words? So the Rambam, in his continuation, he describes this. He says that if a person, at that time originally, time of the Torah, when there was no special language, no special numbers of prayers, if a person, he says, is rogil, he speaks well, so ma'av b'tchino b'tvila, he would compose beautiful prayers. But if he is tongue-tied, he has difficulty, he would go according to the best of his ability. And the same idea, he says, the number of times a person originally felt that he has to pray, some people felt compelled to pray more, some people less. All of this took place from the days of Moshe until the days of Ezra. That's how prayer was conducted. But then he continues the Rambam. Once the children of Israel were exiled in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, then he says they got mixed in with the Poras and Yavon, with the Persian kingdom, with the Greek kingdom, Greek empire, and with other nations, and their children grew up in strange lands. And those children, he says, didn't speak Hebrew. They spoke Ashkismar, or whatever you call it. They couldn't speak Hebrew well. And these balbulus vasam, they couldn't express themselves. And every language was mixed up, a little Persian, a little Greek, jargon, a little German, a little Yiddish. And since he spoke, he couldn't speak properly in one language. So it would only be beshibush, only with mistakes. And they couldn't really recognize Hebrew. And therefore, when one wanted to pray, he just didn't have the language. So what did they do? So he says, Ezra considered this to be a terrible problem. And you'll have a nation that can't pray. So when Ezra, who based Dine, his court saw this, They rose up, V'tiknu Shmeina Esra Brachos Ala Seder, and they were the ones that prescribed the 18 brachos. They took the language, the exact language, and they made these brachos. And the idea is, again, he repeats, the first three have their meaning of praise. The middle, he says, are the personal petitions. In order, he says, that everybody would have one language made out properly. And they also initiated a set number of prayers. So this is the way the Rambam says, the Tefillah Kavua, the designated prayers, the way they made them. But still, what is wrong if a person prays for himself? So really the Kuzari speaks of this, and he says there are some problems if a person would pray for himself. Sometimes he would be only concerned with his own needs and not with everybody else. And therefore, not only would it harm someone else, it would also harm him. And the Kuzari gives you like an example. He says, it's like somebody was living in a city that's going to be attacked, and everybody else runs to participate in strengthening the outer barrier, the fence that surrounds the city. But he goes by himself and strengthens his own house. So first of all, by the fact that he's strengthening his own house, he doesn't care about anybody else. So it shows us the caliber of the person. Secondly, doesn't he understand that if he would go with everybody else, it would take less effort and less work, and once they strengthen the outer barriers of the city, nobody's going to come near his house. So by strengthening his house, he is acting foolishly and depriving himself of really of a certain amount, we'll say, of salvation that he could receive by being with everybody else. This is one way the Kuzari discusses it. But what happens if a person wants, can you insert prayers on your own? So we do find in the Shulchan Aruch that this is discussed halachically. People aren't aware of these halach. He first questions the idea if a person can pray additional times. The question is, if you pray three times and you want to pray another time, can you make an adovah? The three times you're obligated to pray. But what if you feel within you a spirit to say another Shemoneh Esrei at 3:30 in the afternoon? And you already said mincha. So really, according to the halakha to the Talmud, the person would be permitted to pray, but he would have to add something new into every prayer, add a new concept into every one of the brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei. This is what we call a chidush, to show that he's not doing it because it's another obligatory prayer, but this is a feeling of an adobe, like you bring a sacrifice as a donation. This prayer he's giving with the chidush, with his own thought that he's instituting in the prayer. Yet, we don't do it that way. As the Mechaber says, a person can pray, but let me just quote him. He says, "Betzorech sheyehei makir es atzmo." He, however, has to recognize himself that he is a Zoris, diligent, the Zoyer, the Amit Bedaite, very strong, that he could have the proper intentions in his prayers from the beginning to the end. But if he can't properly have intention, so we use the passage of the prophets who call out, Lomoli Robzi Krechem, who needs your multitude of sacrifices? Halavai, that he should have the proper intentions for the three obligatory prayers. So this is written by the Beis Yosef, right, the quote, and it says that it's very difficult for a person to be makir es atzmo zoris. If one is a tzaddik and he can have the proper intention that nothing, maybe when I have to daven Shemoneh Esrei, I have to daven. But if I don't have to daven Shemoneh Esrei, then I have to be extremely careful if I'm approaching Hashem. Because, you know, when we daven Shemoneh Esrei, I don't know if you feel that sometimes I always say we start at Baruch, we're in New York City. And by the time we say Eisa Shalom B'Meimah, we're in Los Angeles. In the 18 brachas, right, we go through the entire country. You don't have to have 80 days to go around the globe. You start thinking about one thing, and you don't even notice that you're at a Semazdavim. The next time you wake up, you're over Chicago and Meidim, and I mean, then you're finished with Shemoneh Esrei. Obviously, this is a fallacy of problems that he's alluding to that we have. The three times Shemoneh Esrei, we have to force ourselves. But then we'll come to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam.
Yeah, we're telling you again, we want another trip around the world. I mean, he doesn't need it.
Loma Levayv Zivchechem, cross the prophet.
Just kindle up. Do the three times that I ask of you. You really are not required to do more than that which is asked of you. What is asked of you, we are obligated to do. Like tefillin, for example. We can't wear tefillin all day. No, according to the deen, really, a person should wear tefillin all day. And there are a few tzaddikim that do wear tefillin all day. But we don't wear tefillin all day, we just wear in the morning to fulfill the mitzvah. Why? Because tefillin needs gufnaki, a person has his thoughts, his body, everything has to be in a higher level of cleanliness. So really, why do we put on tefillin? We have no choice. We have to do the mitzvah, we're obligated. Women don't have to, they don't put on tefillin. But a man has to put on tefillin. So at least we put it on for the small part of the davening, and we fulfill the mitzvah. We don't go around with tefillin all day. So we'll say, fine, we're not speaking about davening more time. Let's say that we want to just add a personal feeling. Are we permitted? So really, according to the halacha, we would be permitted. In fact, it's brought down that really, if we wanted to add in every tefillah a personal feeling or a personal bakasha to God, we would be permitted to do that. We would be permitted to add in the tefillah a personal request to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Harotze lahosif bebrachos. For example, it says, if you needed parnasa, so you could insert parnasa in Birchas Hashanim. Borech Aleinu es Hashana Hazeh, you would start. And you would say, I don't have what to eat today, give me parnasa. And then you would finish the tefillah. You're really allowed to do that into every prayer. And in Shomea tefillah, the general one, you're allowed to insert in your own words, really, whatever you want to. We don't usually do that, but you are permitted to do it. What we do, let me just quote from the Chayodom. Maybe you're not aware of it. He says, Nachon v'royu l'chol adam. It is proper for a person to pray every day, you hear? The Yichud, specifically al Tzorchov, for his own need, Upanasasom, for his own sustenance, and that he should remain with Torah, and his children should study, and his descendants should serve Hashem, and everything that his heart wants to, or feels that he has to, he should say this. The Imeini Yedeya L'dabret Sachus B'Loshon HaKedesh. And if he can't say it in Lashon HaKedesh, he should say it in any language, but it should come from the depths of his heart. And he says, but it's best to put all of these personal prayers after he finishes the 18 brachos. Why? For a practical reason. If you'll put them in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you'll miss the Kedusha and you'll miss everything else. So therefore, by the end of Shemoneh Esrei, after Eisa Shalom, you should insert all of these. In fact, he says, when should you say it? He should say it at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, before Yehiel Ratzein Im Rafi, or after Eisa Shalom, and then he should pray all the things that he feels. And in fact, some of the ones that write about prayer bemoan the fact that we don't do that, that we don't take the interest to do that. Yet, we say that a person should not make his tefillah a tefillah's keva. His prayer shouldn't be perfunctory and just meaningless. But he should put some personal feeling into the prayer. It shouldn't be mechanics and just tradition. So therefore, it's very important that every person should speak words of prayer that he personally feels or needs. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah brings down. The Chafetz Chaim, in this little book of letters, writes on this theme. And it's interesting, the Chafetz Chaim writes, let me just take some quotes from this. He says, although it's known that we're not allowed to think he died in the early 30s, that we're not allowed to be Mahar after HaKadosh Baruch or whatever he does, but a person is allowed to pray to God and demand of God, and Adarabi, he says, we find that Yeshaya Novi, Al Titne Domi Lo, don't wait silence until he responds to whatever you're screaming for. And he says, we see that in our nation, in our country at that time, he says, people are suffering, and when they're suffering, nobody gets together, he says, to think, what should we do? So he says, the reason why we have all this solace is mipnei she'ein anu tzo'akim u'marvim b'tfilah. He says, if we would pray to Hashem, he would respond in many cases. And a person should not be satisfied that he davened Shemoneh Esrei three times a day. This is the cup of Chaim. Don't be satisfied with your formal Shemin Esrei. But he says, many times a day, when you feel bad, and you feel the tzoris, you have to pour out your requests and your prayers to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in your house, when you're there alone, from the depths of your heart. Because the three formal prayers, the Shemin Esrei, are already ritual by him, he says, and he doesn't concentrate, he doesn't put his mind into it. But if a person would first meditate in his house during the middle of the day, and he would make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, on his matzah, on his situation, so on the troubles that he suffers, and then he would come and pour out his heart in mayim like water, neged Hashem, such a tefillah, he says, that comes from the depths of the heart, from a broken spirit, such a tefillah, he says, will surely not be turned back empty-handed. So it's really interesting what the Chofetz Chaim writes here. We say we don't become inspired with the formal prayer. But as we said, the formal prayer was designated for a purpose, that all of Klal Yisrael should pray together, and we have to seek to, as much as we can, concentrate. But we dare not overlook the other part of tefillah, which the halakha of the Shulchan Aruch brings down to add at the end of every Shemon Esrei, your own personal needs. But the Chofetz Chaim goes much further. He says, in your home itself, during the day, in any language, when you feel a need or a compulsion, he says, aside from the three that you formally prayed, you should find within you a drive. So we see now various halakhas that we have discussed. The idea, of course, of davening more than three times a day, the formal prayers, that although technically it can be done, if he would add a new thought to each bracha, but it's looked down upon. But the idea of adding personal petitions were permitted, even in the middle of each of the benedictions. And it's advisable to do it at the end of the Shemon Esrei. But in addition to that, the Chofetz Chaim speaks of the greatness, and that which can be most effective is the informal prayer in whatever language you have, at whatever time you find yourself. And when we look at the Rambam, we see that this really was the whole idea of prayer until the days of Ezra. But because the days of Ezra, out of necessity, people were lacking the opportunity or the ability to articulate and to speak, and therefore the whole idea of prayer would have fallen on the wayside, they had to make formal prayer. But the original intent of prayer and the original purpose of prayer should remain. This is important for us. I think if we would realize this, there are a lot of times that we're looking for a means of expression to be able to communicate. If a person would take in his home a moment to meditate and then to articulate his thoughts in whatever language it is, this would really be, according to the Chofetz Chaim, this would be the essence of prayer itself, which a person should seek to achieve. And this can bring about, the way he says, the response, because it comes from the depth of the heart, even if the person is in his house, with all sincerity.
We always say that prayer is effective. In fact, we always say, they will say that even if the prayer is not answered now, but it's there. The Stipler in the book has said, there's no such thing as a prayer going unanswered. If may the prayers that our Zaydis and Babas may have said 50 years ago help us today. If it wasn't effective then, or it didn't have a result, but it didn't go the Hebrew. It's not that you either helped or not, and we throw it in the trash and we discard it. No, every prayer has to have its pack, its effect. I'll tell you, I once mentioned Yom Kippur. I saw brought down Yom Neroyim. It could work if you just, before you say the word Hashem, Hashem is constantly in prayer. Whenever you get to the word Hashem, say Baruch Atah, don't just say Baruch Atah Hashem. Just say Baruch Atah, and then stop for a second, and look at the next word, Hashem. And just stop, and start thinking about Hashem. Never say an Hashem before you think about it. And he says that's one of the big Bali Musa sefer. It's a definite help, it's a definite plus. Because your tendency is to say Baruch Atah Hashem. It shows you what our prayer is, that there are a lot of laws regarding prayer. If you forgot to say this, or if you forgot, how could you forget to say this? If your cup is with you and you're praying, what do you mean you forgot to say? You see that, you could forget to say. But he said to get back in and concentrate, that's one of the zgulas. I think the Chayorim brought it down. Baruch Atah, and then think before you say Hashem. The only thing is, it takes a long time. So, Tev Me'at B'Kavonet.